So hopefully you guys are back with us. I mean, it looks like you are. You'll forgive for the 2-minute delay because I did have to finish my delicious apple that I wasn't in the I wasn't about to give up.
It was a rather large apple too.
It was a rather large apple. Fruit. Apple fruit.
Fruit, yes.
Just making sure I don't want to get in trouble or anything like that. Point being, we've had a wonderful break here. We were just talking about, you know, the awesomeness of this stuff. And we were actually talking about things called porting labs, which maybe you want to give a little bit of like an intro to or what they are?
Yeah,
or
sure. So what we've been doing lately is we've been doing these porting labs where we've been inviting, you know, developers that are used to using Unity to come out with their already built games. And we're actually stepping through what I'm showing you today, and essentially, you know, well, we're stepping through it with them and helping them, you know, deal with some of the errors and bugs that pop up. So they're able to get their game up and running.
But they're, like, their stuff.
Their
so
stuff,
not, like,
yeah.
Sample
not,
apps
yeah, not our sample apps or anything. They're bringing their game in, and we're literally sitting down with them on a one-to-one basis and showing them, like, this is how, you know, your game, what you need to change to get it working on the Windows phones.
And
Windows
completely
Store.
Free.
Completely free, yeah. Show up whenever you want, leave whenever you want. We're not being picky.
So, stay tuned for more information on that, and especially for you guys that are going to be participating in Code Quando, you'll be doing your moves. I'm not even going to pretend to do moves because I know nothing. I'm a code sensei, not a sensei. Anyway, so stay tuned for more information because you can actually use those porting labs to bring your Unity-based games onto Windows Phone, onto Windows 8, and then use those for your points towards your belts.
Mm-hmm.
So sounds like a 2-for and a 3-for for me.
Yeah, it's awesome. And yeah, keep an eye on my Twitter. I'll make sure I tweet out when and where we're having the porting labs.
Scruffy Fern
yeah.
on Twitter. With that, so recap. We built our game in Unity. We brought that over into Visual Studio.
Yep, we created our Visual Studio solutions.
We created our Visual Studio. We played with a little bit of code. We even had a demo on the phone, which is cool. And now we're at that point where we're just going to take this stuff and actually take it that next step forward and actually get it into the store so that we can get it onto everyone else's devices.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to basically step through the things that you need to take care of, the requirements in order to pass certification.
Right. So now there was checklist number one to get started.
Yep, to get started.
And now checklist number two to actually get published.
Yes, development's worth a lot of check marks.
It's almost like project management built in right into the
almost,
platform.
Almost, isn't it?
Anyway.
Okay.
Oh, wait. We have a question.
Oh, sure.
Just wondering if I can do all this development on the new Surface Pro 2, having Unity, VS 2013, and other stuff in Surface 2 will slow down development processing.
Well, this actually is a Surface. I don't know, can I lift that up?
Yeah.
Is that visible?
It should be. Yeah,
yeah,
totally.
There you go. So this is actually a Surface, and I've been doing all the development, building, and everything else on the Surface. So
now,
I'm
this
sure.
is Surface, Surface 1. Proper.
Yeah, this is the original Surface Pro.
So Surface Pro 2.
I'm sure will be more than adequate.
Easily. Yes. Easily. And now, especially with Visual Studio being a much lighter weight than what it used to be, and like it's good stuff. So, to answer your question, I can't imagine that it would be.
Yeah, I find it really beneficial in the fact that I can build and test it right on the device that it's going to be potentially going to. Right.
True.
So you get all the you know features that you're looking to target are right there, and you can actually test them.
Makes sense. And then and you can test it with the built-in emulator and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You don't have to actually.
Well, you can't for the phone. You can't use the emulator.
Fair enough. But for the
for the Windows Store builds, you can use the built-in emulator. So if you don't have a Surface, you're still okay.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
All right. Let's continue on.
Okay.
All right. Where are we? We're going into Visual Studio.
Yeah, I might as well jump
Let's
right into
that.
Visual Studio here. Okay, so I'm going to start off with the Windows Store build. So there's one thing that you need to take care of before you can actually submit to the store, and that's the feature that used to be called Snap View. Now I'm just calling it Resizable Window. So basically, for those of you that haven't had any experience with this, you're actually able to take running apps and snap them, in essence, to the side of your screen. And depending on the size of your resolution, you can actually have up to 4 of them running at once. This is a requirement for any app that's in the store. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually show you how to handle that, where it's actually called, and I'm going to give you a very simple solution on how to go about changing your game display when that happens. Actually, you know what? I'm going to should I show them how that works?
Do it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Eh?
The more
so
the merrier.
Let's fire up a couple here. So I'm going to fire up the weather and That's my hometown right there.
Brantford, Canada.
Yeah.
The funny part is that they oh, actually, our studio guy here has given us the thumbs up, like, yes, that's me too. But more importantly, it's interesting that that app is missing the Ontario part, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, I just noticed that. I didn't even notice that until you pointed it out. Okay, so right, you saw what I just did there. If I, here, I'll leave it up.
You saw what I just did there.
Yeah.
But let's do it again.
Let's do it again, just so you can actually see. If I go to the top here and I grab it, I can actually snap it to the side of my screen. And what's cool about this is, if I click the other side here, and you know what, I'm going to just go back to my desktop. You can actually see I got Visual Studio running on one side, and I got the weather updates on the other.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty cool, right? Now I'm thinking to myself.
I definitely want to know. So I don't know about you, but when I'm out or doing my code and I'm in the zone. So,
yeah, you want to know what's going on outside.
Well, because I'm certainly not getting outside.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. I like to watch the sunny days pass on my screen. So, yeah, basically what's really cool about this is the fact that, you know, well, in this case, I can't really see too much on my Visual Studio. But I still want to know what's going on with the weather. So what I can do is I can actually drag it over and resize it so that I'm getting more for Visual Studio and less for the weather updates. So just let's take it one step further, actually.
Drum roll, please.
No, I haven't. I love I'm doing this and I'm, you know, hoping everything works properly.
Isn't that the way to do
Why not,
live
right?
Demos?
That's how you do live demos. Oh, it's like, where do you want me to put you? If you notice that, it's like, you know. Which side do I want to go?
Look at that 3D effect.
Very cool. So I'm going to say, put it over there.
And of course, this is all apps, but you can do this with games and stuff.
Yeah, you can do this with games or anything, right? So basically, what I want to show you guys is like you need to handle this. And because my screen resolution got turned down for the presentation, I can't run more than two at a time.
Yeah. It's really in the name of these guys that are watching so that they have a clear picture, you know.
Yeah, so basically this is what we're going to talk about is how do you handle when someone takes your game and makes it tiny or makes it big, right? So let's go right back to Visual Studio here. And, you know, like everything in Unity, this is actually a really simple task because I'm sure a lot of you are thinking, wow, that's got to be pretty complicated to handle. So if I go into my main page, XAML.cs, you'll notice right at the top here, and again, most of this is stubbed in code. I'm just going to highlight the things that I've changed. You'll notice right here that I have two placeholders for our default screen size. So right off the bat, when the game's launched and running, I pull the screen and say, how big are you? Right? Because when you launch it generally, you're going to be launching in full screen. So this is my way of saying, what are the current bounds of the screen? And that's basically what that's saying, right? Windows.current or window.current.bounds.width and height. So I make up a little placeholder for that so that I can tell, you know, how big it is. And then if you scroll down, you'll notice that they've already stubbed in a function called onResize. And this onResize function is the actual function that's going to be called when someone changes the dimensions of your game. So I didn't even have to write a new function. I'm just going to actually stick my code in the already existing function. So right here, what I've highlighted, that shows up. You know, I'm going to boost that up so you guys can see that really well. How's that? Can you see that roll?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah,
perfect. Okay, so this code right here is the code that I've actually stuck in. And all I'm doing is I'm saying, again, and this goes back to the fact that I made that static variable and then assigned it that instance of the game. So my game controller.sp, which is my instance of the game, if it's not null, meaning the game's actually launched and I'm, you know, have a game, I run the code inside. So the default one that I'm going to run, and of course I've built a paused and unpaused function inside of Unity, right? But what I do is I say if my current bounds at this time is less than half of my default bounds for the width, then I'm going to actually pause the game. And I'll show you guys this running in a few seconds. And if I'm bigger than half, I'm going to unpause the game. So basically what I'm saying is if I take this game and I'm any smaller than half, or half, I'm going to pause the game. As soon as someone drags it back out, it'll unpause. So that's as simple as it gets. And that literally is all the code that you really need to write in order to handle this. Of course, this isn't like best practices. You want to give your users a little more than just, you know, if it's half or less, right? So you might want to do something like if I'm half, you know, I'm going to scale to half. Or if, you know, like you saw where I put the weather app there. I had it like really kind of tiny. That is something that, you know, if that happens, you obviously can't play your game because it's gonna, well, depending on your game. But generally for my sumo game here, you're not gonna be able to play it, it's too small. So what you might wanna do is add something like an achievement list there, or you know, maybe have a mini game. I've seen a lot of games doing that lately where if they get snapped to the very side, instead of trying to scale and do some funky stuff there, all they do is bring up a mini game. Or you could just do what I've done and pause the game. So I'm going to actually launch the game now. And I'm going to show you how this works.
Moment of truth. Here it comes. Will it work?
I'm always happy when it gets past the first stage because I know it's actually going to work. There you go.
Yeah.
So there's the game. And I'll play it just real quick so you can see me actually playing it. So
I think we should actually spend the rest of the webinar playing games.
You just want to do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's pretty sneaky, though. If you notice, he'll dodge every once in a while, and then he'll try to sneak up on you.
The red one.
Yeah, the red one.
Yeah, obviously, because that's me.
Pretty sneaky. So yeah, that's the game running. So I'm running the game right now. As you can see, I'm moving around. Now, you know, say...
Well, actually, they can't see, but now they can see.
Oh, now they can see?
Now you're back on.
Okay, there we go. Awesome. So, you know, I'm running the game right now, and say somebody, I wanted to make a Skype call, or I wanted to check the weather, because that's important when you're in the middle of a sumo match. Oh, no. What I do is I can just grab it, and if I snap it, it's going to pop up and say paused.
Look at that.
Isn't that awesome?
Like that.
Just like that. Just dragged, dropped it over, paused.
Now, just for fun, what happens if you go to the other side of the screen?
It'll do the same thing.
You sure about that?
Yeah. I just have to snap it to that side.
Oh, and look, it unpaused.
Yeah. I unpause it, and then I pause it again,
Ta-da.
Obviously, to move it, but yeah. So yeah, and then, you know, I'm done checking the weather or movie listings or whatever it might be. And I click back and I just drag it out and it automatically unpauses. Now obviously that's not a best case scenario. You don't want to have the user come right back into your game like that.
Especially since you threw me off the ledge right
now. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe so, I did that on purpose.
I think I did. But yeah, so that's, you know, obviously these aren't best practices, but I wanted to at least show you guys how it worked. So yeah. Don't just throw your user right back into the game.
Well, we actually have a feature suggestion on the chat.
Oh, do we really?
Yeah, it's throw some salt particles when you come back.
Very
Why
cool.
Not?
Yeah, I like that idea.
Not?
Very cool. And yes, Unity's definitely got a really cool particle engine, so can definitely make something like that happen. So yeah, that in a nutshell is how you build in this resizability for your game. And once you have that implemented, you're good to go. Just like that. That's all you really have to do to worry about getting your game ready for the store. So, you know, I'm going to walk you back through this real quick because we've got to do a quick recap. So as long as you've changed your icons, you've changed your tiles, you've declared what you're using, and you've implemented this on resize function, you're good to go. You can push your game to the store.
So we didn't have to, like, it's not like a 2-hour, 3-hour, 4-hour process or anything like that.
No, not at all.
I don't know. It seems a little bit too easy.
Yeah, and you know what? When we're doing these porting labs, the number one thing that I hear from people is, I can't believe it's that easy. They go out.
Well,
they're
obviously.
Just, yeah, they're just like, I can't believe it took me minutes to get something up and running, right?
But is that like, okay, so let's get real here for a second. Because obviously, naturally, every time we do demos and stuff like that, we always say, well, it's just that easy. And if it was just that easy, we wouldn't need code senseis. unless, of course, we are here to tell you it is, in fact, that easy.
Yeah.
But, so, does that apply just because it's a... And no offense, of course.
No, very simple.
That it's a rudimentary kind of game.
Yes, yes. Like, you know, obviously, if I was using a lot of plugins in Unity,
right.
I might run into some issues there that are going to take a little bit longer when I'm porting. But if you've got just the basic game, like something like this, that's not using any plugins, and or you've rolled your own plugins, this is it. That's as quick as and as easy it is to get it going. I know. You gotta love Unity, eh?
Well, I mean, I think it speaks to the point of what Unity is trying to do,
mm-hmm.
right? Is be that cross-platform business so that you're not having to go and rejig things.
I want to write it once and push it to everything I possibly can.
Now, so here's a flip question to what you started with earlier, where you're like, well, you know, add all these Windows 8.1 features, whatever. Do you have to?
You don't have to, but obviously it makes sense to take
You know, obviously.
Yeah, right? Like, you want to, like, target your platform and use those features that are available on your platform, right? Like, the share feature is amazing in my eyes, because especially for us indie developers, we need to get noticed, right?
Right.
And why not have someone share their high score on their Twitter account or on Facebook so that people
with
see
a link
it.
Back to your app in the store,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a great built-in feature. It keeps your UI very clean because, you know, like I said before, you know, I've built games where I've had click here to like me on Twitter or on Facebook, and wow, you got like 1,000 buttons on a UI, right? And it gets cluttered. So this built-in feature is amazing. And then, of course, search. So I don't even have my game running, or maybe I'm on a website and I've got the next World of Warcraft killer game, right? And
everyone, or sumo,
right?
Come on, it's just as good.
Yeah, you know what I mean. But I'm talking like about the RPG games where you've got a lot of armor or items and stuff,
right?
And you're sitting there, and your buddy says, "Hey, do you got this sword or do you got this armor?" And you're like, I don't want to boot up the game just to find out if my character's got that armor.
So you can surface all of that through the search.
Right through the search. Right.
And you don't have to boot up the game instead.
Exactly. So you can search inside your game without actually having to launch the game.
Clever.
I think that's amazing.
Clever.
Right.
Now riddle me this. What about in-app purchases? Does that work yet?
Yes, in-app purchases and consumables are both working. You can use our API, which is fantastic and very
easy. And by our, he means Microsoft,
yeah, sorry,
of course.
Yes. Yes. Microsoft, yeah. Microsoft,
not Scruffy API. Fern's,
yeah, not Scruffy API. Fern's amazing API system. Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. But I see the eyes. You guys can't see his eyes directly, but I see the eyes kind of churning.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, you can use Microsoft's built-in purchase API, or you can use a third party. So if you already got something on iOS or Android, and you're like, you know what, I really don't want to have to do all that extra work to get that going, you can actually bring in theirs.
But all of that still fits into the Unity environment, or now it's the Visual Studio environment around?
It's more the Visual Studio around.
Okay.
Right.
Well, that makes sense.
Right. And same with the Microsoft API. You can build in the calls to Unity, obviously, because you want to make sure that that's going that way. But you're doing that in the outer shell. Right, so on our XAML C# or our DirectX C# C++, whatever it might be, that shell that you're putting around the game, that's where you're going to do all that coding.
Okay, so it's like Visual Studio now becomes the best of both worlds.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it. Yeah. Who would have thought?
You gotta love Visual Studio. It's one of my favorite.
I say that, and I'm in such awe because it used to be back in the day, Visual Studio was just like Visual Studio proper.
Yeah.
Now it's like Visual Studio Unity and all the Azure stuff is built in. All of these other, and Xamarin now, hello.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I don't know if you guys saw the announcements yesterday where now there's Xamarin support in Visual Studio.
Mm.
And I'm just like, this is insane.
Yeah.
In a good way, but it's insane nonetheless.
Yeah. Every day I wake up and it seems like it's easier and easier to build, you know, a game or an app.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's the point.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it continues that way.
All the more reason, of course, why now developer movement comes.
Yeah.
I had to do that. It was a perfect setup for another plug.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I'm surprised no one's asked me when developer movement launches.
Mm.
You're just going to have to keep coming back to these to know. That's all.
He'll tell you in one of these plugs anyway.
We do have a question, though.
Okay.
Is there a how-to with a working sample someplace?
Actually, you know what? I'm going to make sure that this goes out, and you guys will be able to download the sumo game. You're more than welcome to use it. It's under MIT license.
And then all of a sudden you see, like, sumo version 1 in the store, and then developer movement, and then sumo pro, and then sumo ultimate.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to make that code available so that everybody can feel free to rip it apart, use whatever's in there. You know, I'm not holding any copyrights over it. And as well as the Dojo. The actual Dojo app that I'm using to show my slides and all that in. Mm-hmm. I'm going to push that out as well so you can download that.
And for the record, they are demos. So don't go slapping his hand because this code is not perfect or that code's not perfect. Mm-hmm. And you saw the extent of which we did testing, which of course you will do more of, right? Because we didn't actually go through that.
Yeah.
Is there anything actually specifically in Visual Studio or in this world for testing these apps?
You have what they call the WAC test.
Right.
I'm trying to remember how that.
The Windows
Application Certification
Kit.
Yeah, there we go.
It's a good thing that between the two of us, we can figure out four letters.
Yeah.
But
definitely before you push anything to the store, game, app, whatever it might be, run a WAC test on it. I love that.
WAC. Yeah. But what about testing the actual game itself? Like, should we be concerned about any kind of
You could. You could do unit testing, obviously. Like, there's a lot more unit testing support in Visual Studio 2013.
Right, because, I mean, it is C-sharp at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. At the end of the day, it's C-sharp. You can do unit testing on it. I just didn't see a need for the sumo blocks.
No, well, of course. but we wouldn't want to imply that we never test anything.
Yeah, no, I definitely, yeah. When I do production code, I am very, very, I realize that if I don't test things, it's going to come back to bite me.
Just
down the road.
Making sure. Yeah. Just making sure. Great questions, y'all. Anything else? Any questions? Keep firing them at us.
Yeah.
How about for your stuff? Are we good? Like, it is actually just like I was.
Yeah, that's it for the Windows 8.1. So I'm going to show you guys how to do the
phone
now.
Cool.
And then, yeah.
Let's do it. Back into Visual Studio 8. There we are. I'm still trying to get over how easy this is.
Wait till you see the phone version.
I'm actually waiting impatiently.
Okay, so again, I'm going to show you guys how to implement what is required. And for the phone, the requirement is the fact that you handle the back button press. On the Windows phones, they actually have a hardware back button. And you've got to make sure that if someone presses it, you actually handle that. This is a requirement of certification. If you don't, you won't fail, would you say?
You just won't pass. Right.
Yes, you just won't pass. So yeah.
No failures in this
world.
No
failures.
We are a positive reinforcement dojo.
Yes.
And I'm a positive sensei.
So yeah, that's the requirement for the Windows phone is that you actually handle that back button key press. I'll just give you a couple of guidance points. If you've got a menu system in your game, you don't want someone, if they press the back button, to jump right out. If they're in a menu, you want it to take it back to the previous menu, right? So if I'm in my main menu, I click settings for say. If someone clicks the back button, it shouldn't exit the game. It should go back to the main menu, right? Another thing that you want to do is if you have like a dialog box, so say someone's chatting in your game, you go up to an AI and you click on them and they say a little blurb. If someone clicks the back button, it shouldn't exit the game. It should just exit that dialog. And these are just things that you want to think about when you're building your game and to take it, into consideration. Yeah. It's just good practice, right?
I mean, the truth is it's really no different for apps.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Just in.
Yeah.
I get really flustered when people don't do the back button properly.
Yeah, but and that's the thing, right? And that's it goes the same for, yeah, like you said, for apps and for games. It's a requirement for certification. So, yeah, just when you're laying out your game and you're thinking about, how your dialogues work or how your menu system works, just remember that if people press the back button, you got to be able to handle that. So I'm going to show you exactly how that's done. So I fired up my Visual Studio here. I've got my Windows phone build. I've gone into my main page XAML.cs file. And if I scroll right down to the bottom, again, all this code's mostly stubbed in, so I'm only going to show you the stuff that I've highlighted. Scroll up right down to near the bottom anyway, and you'll notice that there's this function already there for you that says phone application page _ back key press. Another mouthful.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Hence the stubbing.
Yes. So it's all stubbed in for you, and that's the function that actually gets called when someone presses the back button. Very complicated stuff, yes. So again, all I'm doing here is because I have my static variable that's pointing to my instance of a game, I'm saying if that is not null, so if my game's not null, and someone presses the back button, I'm going to quit. Now, again, I did say just a moment ago that that's not best practice, but for my game, because there's no menu system, it's totally fine to handle it that way. So yeah, so you basically hit the back button. It launches this function. This function calls my quit function inside of Unity, and done. That's it.
Just like that.
So yeah, again, if you've changed your icons, which are located in your assets folder, you go into your tiles there. You can change all your funky tiles to whatever you may want. Down at the bottom, you got your splash screen.jpg. If you change that out, implement some sort of way, some code in here in the back button function. And you're
That's
done.
It.
That's it.
That's it.
Push it to the store.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, isn't it?
That's crazy. Like only because here I am. Like I'm actually expecting you to go into hardcore code and start start bringing out all the papers that has all the extra code they have to sit there and type out.
Yeah.
I love it when people do that, and you're sitting there, you're watching the screen, and just someone's sitting there typing. But point being, so you have most of it stubbed out already.
Yeah, it's all the content that you actually need to call. So like my onResize function,
right,
it stubbed in for me, and my back button function
stubbed
already
in for
stubbed
you.
In for me.
And then everything else that's not stubbed in for you is actually written for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and just to make a point here, like about my whole
static
class, I'm going to actually type.
I'm going to look into onto a screen here.
So if I go into my actual function here, or not my function, my variable.
Let's show the let's show it to them. Here we go.
You're able to see that okay?
Yes, we can now.
Okay. So if I go in here and I say my controller.sp, which is my instance of that controller, and I hit the dot, you're going to notice there's a lot of stuff in there that's very familiar to Unity coders. Everything in there. I can even pull out components inside of Unity.
Interesting.
Right inside of my C# XAML classes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you want to dig a little deeper, there's a lot that you can do inside of XAML in your, what I like to refer to as the shell around your game. You can do pretty much anything that you can do inside of Unity and call those functions right here. So again, that's why I did the whole, you know, creating a variable, static variable, assigning it an instance. That way I can do all this funky stuff. Yeah. Very simple, eh?
Like, it's actually at the point where, aside from the actual graphics, which I think I would be absolutely terrible at.
Well, you've seen mine, programmer style.
It doesn't matter. Like, you saw your sumos, I would have been like stick people. Just say. Anyway, I might actually be able to write a game.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that's what.
Which means that you guys for sure can. If you're tuning into this, for sure you can.
Yeah, and that's the good thing about Unity, right? Is the fact that you're able to jump right in. And if you have this vision inside of your head, it's not that difficult to get it out of your head and onto the platform.
Which, interestingly enough, is also a great springboard into, you know, you can start off with the Windows Phone and Windows Phone 8 and the Windows 8. Wow, that's a mouthful also.
It is.
Hello. Mm. The Windows platform. With something like that you're porting over from Unity, but then because you're already getting comfortable with what you need for certification, whatever, I don't know, it almost seems to me like naturally you would start spinning up like spin-off apps, you know, like helper apps, whatever, that you could technically snap beside your game mm-hmm. or app or whatever, and then have them both on the same screen. One's a helper, one's the actual thing, and now you have two apps for developer movement.
Exactly.
You
right.
didn't just code, you code quandoed.
Very nice.
I couldn't help it. Yeah. I couldn't help it. Wow. I'm going to have a blast with this one.
Yeah, I was shocked when I actually dug into this, how easy it would be.
And you were doing Unity before Windows stuff.
Yeah, I've been doing Unity for quite some time now, so I'm fairly familiar with the internals of Unity. But I'd never actually tried to push it to the phone and stuff like that. And then when I sat down and tried it, I went, wow, like that's
just like that.
Yeah. It's just unbelievably
easy.
Have
a beer.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, you know, but then
I allowed to say that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But then I started doing research. Right. So right. I'd sit there and play games while people thought I was building. So
that's why we hired
you. Yeah.
His development environment is so simple that he's just that good that he can spend the time doing anything else. Okay. I'm just checking here, no other questions, which is good. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, what do you guys think? Like, simple enough? Not simple enough? Any specific questions? We've been told not to drink and code.
It can turn out badly. It can turn out badly.
Or it can turn out really good.
It can turn out really good.
Now, of course, I love that comment because nobody actually said what we would be drinking, which is exactly the case. I don't know that we want to discuss that, but we can discuss that over Twitter if you want. okay, so?
Yeah, that's it. That's literally it? In a nutshell. That's the demo, right?
Maybe we should actually sit here and build a game.
Yeah? Now you're putting me on the spot.
It's always good to do demos.
Yes.
But can you do... No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't make you do that because then things kind of end up funding or whatever.
Yeah.
But having said that, we're going to stick around here for a bit. We did finish early, which was actually great for you guys because we were laughing about this in the break where, you know, when we were going in, we were setting up this particular dojo. Our amazing event staff, by the way, shouts out to you guys. They're like, well, you know, you're the standard code quando stuff or the standard developer movement dev camps that you guys do are like 4 hours long. So, okay, here we are. But as you clearly saw from Unity Sensei Scruffy Fern over here, it actually really is that simple.
Yeah.
And it's not for a lack of content.
Yeah,
it's
literally. It's just that easy, right? And it's hard to spend 4 hours talking about something that literally takes minutes.
And you'll forgive me because I've actually, you guys know me, I'm the cloud guy. clouds, games, games use the cloud, but the clouds don't come down to the games. Anyway, so here I am, like, my amazement, if you will, is actually quite sincere, because I had no idea, thinking that this was going to be a lot longer, and here I am, be like, okay, I'm going to get all pumped up and full of energy, whatever, because I got to make sure this guy's full of energy for 4 hours. But we're done.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys had a great time. Before I forget, do not forget, it's funny, but anyway, don't forget the eval link that's right underneath the player for you guys who are watching full screen. If you could just plop out of full screen and click on that link, that would be great. We'll keep the chat open for about another half an hour or so. But if you don't think of anything while you're there, or if there's anything else after today, if you're watching this especially on demand, just tweet us. At Jay Rosenblatt here, at Scruffy Fern here. Have fun trying to spell that out. I certainly did the first couple of times. And my last name is with a Z, not an S. That's it. We're going to sign off here from the studio. It's a pleasure having you on.
Oh,
it was good times.
Thanks for having me.
Good time. Like, he had a choice. hopefully you like our new set. We're trying something new. And we'll see you next Thursday for design stuff on Google Hangout. Or if you're going to skip that one, we'll see you the week after that for porting iOS. No, I keep saying that because iOS is awesome to port over to Windows Phone, Windows 8. Porting Android apps to Windows Phone, Windows 8. Until then, see ya.
Thanks.